Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to finish out chapter 10 this morning. But I thought what we'd do here right at the first of class, I'd like to take a few moments and let's review a couple of things since we're at this part of the book of Hebrews. I want to see what you've gained. I want you to come on back to chapter 2. And the things that we're going to talk about here at the first should have deeper meaning from what we've been through. Question for you. Tell me what you've gained. What or who is a high priest? What does he do? How does a high priest function? Okay. A representative to God. Yeah. That's another thing I better tell you. I forgot my aids on my ears. So hang in there with me. I'm going down all the way. I hear no evil, see no evil. So all that's left is my speech. Okay. What else is a high priest? Tell me what you've gained about Jesus, our high priest. Okay. What does that really mean? Sometimes we read words and we don't think about what is he teaching us? Okay. Anything else? Gives us our access to God for forgiveness of sins. Being our representative and the things that pertain to God. Look right quick here at verse 16 of Hebrews 2. Would someone want to read that out loud, please? Assuredly, guess what Jesus doesn't do? Angels get no help. Why does he talk about descendants of Abraham? That's us. How does it make us a descendant of Abraham? By faith, Eric says, yes. It's all by faith. He doesn't give help to the angels. Look at verse 17. Someone read that out loud for us. Merciful. Propitiation. Okay. What else? What else about our high priest that we just read? He became like us. How much like us? All things. Except without sin. This is true. Now, here's the thought. What's the value of knowing that you and I have this high priest, and he knows about death? Does he understand death? Does he understand temptations? Does he understand people doing you harm and people you know, mistreating you. And so if you know and I know Jesus is our high priest, knows all those things, how valuable is he? Merciful? Yeah, so when you and I fail, what does he become for us? That one big word in there. Propitiation. What is a propitiation? Yeah, a satisfaction, an atoning sacrifice. Guess what he's become to God for us as a high priest? I can take your failure, your weakness, and I can lay it on myself because I know what it means to be merciful. And the thing that you failed in, guess what he can do? He satisfied God as the sacrifice. No more animal sacrifices. He satisfied God as our propitiation. Now, there's another side of things too. Would someone jump over right quick to 1 John 2, verse 1, and read it out loud? 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. As our high priest, what else do we have? An advocate. What is an advocate? Someone who walks alongside of you to help. You know what else we have as a high priest? He's walking along beside us and he can help. Now come back to you. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Ron. I saw your hand. Go ahead. That's a good point. He is our perfection before God. So look at the value. Look at chapter 7 right quick. Hebrews chapter 7. Look at verse 25. Would someone read that out loud for us? So he brings further about the advocate. What does Jesus live for? To make intercession for you and for me. Look at the value of Jesus and you want to quit. Think about people that want to quit. I don't want any part of that. What are they doing? What do you do when you want to quit? You're giving up on Jesus. And one of the things we found out here in chapter 10, where he talked about not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, not abandoning. What if you just do that? Well, I'm not going to church. What are you saying? You're setting yourself up for no hope, but you just quit Jesus. No one ever quits the church. They have to quit Jesus first. And once you quit Jesus, what's coming? There no longer remains a sacrifice for your sins, but what? Judgment, and he uses the term terrifying expectation of judgment. That's what he's been teaching them in chapter 10. Can you imagine what awaits? To turn away and I don't want any more to do with Jesus. I don't care what he asks of me. I'll turn away. You lose your intercessor. You lose your high priest. You lose your standing of someone can understand every single aspect that you and I go through. You lose it all before God. And so the only thing that you can expect is this terrifying expectation of judgment. Now, come on over to chapter 10. This chapter of warning. Look down at verse 31. Would someone read 10:31, please? Well, what does that tell you? Terrifying. You don't want to fall into the hands of the living God without Jesus. It's a terrifying thing. And you know, there's no help for that. I just thought of one. I want someone to go back and read chapter 3, verse 1 and tell me what you learned there. Another addition of Jesus. Yes, yes. It isn't real, right? Okay. Chapter 3, verse 1. Who are we there? We're holy brethren, but what else does he tell us? You're a partaker of what? Of a heavenly calling. You partake and share in this heavenly calling. You share in this high priest and you want to leave? It is terrifying to fall into the hands of the living God. Now back to chapter 10. Look at verse 32. Somebody read 32, 34. No, that's fine. That's fine. So what have these people come through? He's writing to this group that wants to leave the Lord and go back under the law. What does he tell them? What have they been through? They've been made a public spectacle. And they what? There you go. A lot of tribulation in their lives. One thing else that kind of stands out. they had their property seized with joy. Would you be that away today? Now, why did they have joy when their property was seized? They have a lasting place. See, don't throw away your confidence. You need to have confidence in who this Jesus is. And here you've been through all of these things, all of these tribulations and all these difficulties. You've even had your property seized. That's what the Jewish culture would do, is that if a person didn't follow, they gave up on Judaism and you were had a family inheritance, you know what they'd do? They'd take over it. They'd take it away from you. It's no longer yours. And their attitude was what? They joyfully let it happen. And you know what we fight for today? Stuff. We want our stuff. You have no right to take my stuff. And what are we losing? What do we lose in our sight as a result? We lose sight of our eternal resting and our eternal possessions in the presence of God. You know what? That's something that we fight to keep our stuff. Stuff means a lot to a lot of people. And when stuff means a lot, Jesus starts falling in the background. It's not about stuff. It's about Jesus, your high priest. It's about being a partaker of this heavenly calling. And so don't throw away your confidence. What's the only thing going to keep you on track? Okay, read one more time with me. Ken just read it to us. I appreciated that. Read verse 34 out loud one more time. What do you have? A better possession. A lasting one. See, there comes this point in time, no one's going to be able to take anything from you. Everything that Jesus has done is established and it's there. You want to make it? You better hold on if you're going to make it. You don't want to quit now. Look at verse 35. Someone read that. Confidence. Who's your confidence? Is Jesus our confidence? What do we need to have in our lives? What do we need to have? Yeah, hold a G. Have some confidence. And what you got, instead of reveling over here how bad things are and how this has happened and this has happened, you know, you've got confidence. You need to hold on to that with everything that you've got. Yes. Absolutely. Good point. And what do most people do? And they always complain. You know, why did this happen to me? Why not? Perhaps that's what you need to help get you focused back on who the Lord is. You know, it's not about, well, I know Tammy loved to walk. I knew her when she did. And I know she'd love to do that. We go through different things. I'd love to see, you know, but there's things that you get limited in. But guess what's never limited? That's, well, doing that, and you've got this intercessory between you and God going on all the time, bringing you forward. Somebody read verse 36. Yes, I heard of Brent. Well, and that's very true. I don't want us to train our mind. It takes one thing, faith. You've got to believe it. You've got to trust it. Because you know what's coming in the next chapter? Faith. To explain, this is what true faith looks like, and this is how it works. That's why we need a chapter on that. So we need some confidence. We need to understand, by the way, all this stuff that you see and all the stuff we've accumulated, what's going to happen to it? It's going to burn up anyway. You know, I had a fellow once tell me years ago, more stuff you got, the hotter the fire. And he was living for stuff. That's what his life was wrapped up in. But if you and I would wrap our lives around Jesus and confidence in who he is, how much better would our lives go? When we face something, knowing that he's been through everything, he's been through temptations like we have, he tasted death, he's made like us in every way except without sin. When you look at all of that, what should that do to us? Give us some confidence in who he is, what he is. Someone go ahead and read verse 36. What do we have need of? Endurance. What about this? What if you quit the Lord 1 month before you die or he comes back? Yeah, can you imagine go your life and then you quit at the end? Share this one with you. When I was in Texas, there was a fellow there. He got up on a Sunday morning. And the eldership at the congregation, he raked all the elders over the coals and he demanded that all the elders resign. After that, he went to one elder in particular and he told this one elder, you have no business being an elder. You are never part of the eldership. you need to get out right now. And he said some horrible things to the elder. He was so upset because the eldership had to stand against his own daughter. She was immoral, and everybody in the congregation knew she was immoral. And they took a stand, and you know what? It made him mad. He was fuming. So as a result, we're going to uphold immorality and say it's okay. And in the process, all you resign. Well, this man, his son was my best friend at the time. And then he said, I will never be back at this congregation as long as you men are elders. What's he doing? Is he quitting? And he's quitting with anger on top of it. Now, 2 weeks went by. And on a Sunday, he got before the people because he did it in such a public way. And he repented and asked for their forgiveness for what he had done. Was that a right move? It was a wonderful move. And then, get this. 2 days after he repented of that, he had a massive heart attack and died. How close? How close was he? You know, you're right there. And I remember his son telling me, oh, I'm so glad my dad did that, because he had stepped into eternity with all this on his life. And he lost everything. So you can see, you and I, you don't want to get up to the end of your life and you quit. Or you're upset about something and you just throw away your confidence in all of this. This is very important things for you and I to heed. Don't throw away your confidence. You have need for endurance. When things get tough, what do you need to do? Hang on to hope and endure whatever the difficulty is. Isn't that what we need to do? If you have any faith in Jesus, you won't quit. But when you lose faith, how are you going to get it back? How are you going to get faith back? Sure. And we're grateful too. You know, so there's things to learn, but whatever you do, don't quit Jesus. Because you're going through a difficulty doesn't mean Jesus stopped being your high priest. It doesn't mean Jesus has stopped caring for you, stopped interceding for you. That didn't mean any of that. when you face death of a loved one, death, you know, in other ways of a family member. Guess what he did? He tasted death for all of us. So you know what he's able to do? What's he able to do to God for our behalf? He intercedes, but does he know what it takes when there's a death? Absolutely. See, we kind of seem to forget that. We think on the terms of we're almost immortal. And the younger you are, the worse it is, because you don't think I'm going to die. But you know what the fact is? Every one of us in here, if the Lord doesn't come, what's going to happen to you? You're going to die. Now, the question is, will you endure and die with Jesus or without Jesus? Now, let's look at the next two verses here. 37 and 38. This is a quote out of Habakkuk 3, verses 3 and 4. Someone read that quote for us, please. In the days of Habakkuk, Habakkuk was warning the people of Judah, Babylon is going to destroy this place, and you need to be paying attention so you can escape the destruction. And so what they were doing, if you're going to escape an impending doom, what do you have to do? Have faith in what? There were things he told them, Habakkuk told them, this is what you look for. This is what's going to happen. Go back and read it. And as it's going to happen, would you have faith and move forward at the right time? What does he say here about a person that shrinks back? My soul takes no pleasure in anyone that shrinks back. You don't want to keep moving forward by faith? You shrink back? How does God feel about that? You know, sometimes as time goes by, people sometimes get lazy. Okay, they step back away from things. Is that a wise move? It's never. We need to endure. We need to do the will of God and keep doing His will all the way to the end of our lives. And so here they were in Habakkuk's time. They were just a little over a year out of Babylon destroying them. It was close. The Hebrew writer here, they're 3 to 4 years from Jerusalem and the temple being destroyed. We're that close. So don't you shrink back now. He's exhorting these people. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Don't quit now. You'll lose everything. And what would your life be worth if you lost everything in Jesus now? What would your life be worth? To go through the seizures of your property, to go through being made a spectacle, to go through, you know, being persecuted. I did it all for the name of Jesus and then I quit. What's all that worth? Not a thing. See, you don't want to quit Jesus now. And that's what the Hebrew writer was explaining to us here. Someone read verse 39. What will faith do? Preserve your soul. So you know what? You don't want to shrink back. That's where he's come to the end of this chapter after all these severe warnings and, you know, moving forward with the will of God. Now, if you shrink back, God will take no pleasure in anything you've done for his name's sake. You lose it all. Questions or comments? Sure. Right. All those things that he referred, that you just referred to there, what were they? They were a copy and a shadow. That's all they were. And they were to bring you to Jesus. And guess what it hadn't brought these people to? It hadn't brought them to Jesus. They're quitting. Everything that Jesus, the reality for sinfulness.